You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly pop and geek culture show covering movies, TV, games, and comics.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Glasgow Nerd Overload experience. Everybody line up, we've got a quarter cup of Baja Blast. And a very hot chip for you.
A singular hot chip.
A singular hot chip, yep. In this opened industrial warehouse.
You all have to share.
Keep on a lookout for the curious stranger, the evil podcaster that lives in the wall.
Oh, I couldn't hold it anymore. That's, oh, yeah. Can't wait to get into this. All right.
I'm Cody, and I'm here in my ill-fitting Oompa Loompa costume.
I'm Sam, and my top hat was bought at a craft store.
I'm Josh, and I was in charge of the AI art on the website.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. A bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
Yes, add that to the list of things.
Yeah.
We got to. It's an imperative that we talk about the Willy Wonka experience. But first, we got to get through the things that we've been doing this week. You know what? I watched a movie earlier this week, and I've been bursting at the seams to talk to you guys about it. I've been holding it in for over an hour before the show came in to talk. I wanted to talk to you guys when you first walked in the door.
Please go ahead.
Okay.
I don't think I have much.
Okay, so I found a movie the other day called Fatal Deviation, or as they say in the film, Fatal Deviation, because you see, Fatal Deviation has the distinction of being the first kung fu movie made entirely in Ireland. That's right. Irish kung fu movie.
It sounds like the title of a Neil Breen movie.
If you take the ineptitude of Samurai Cop and the, I have a term that's called me, that like writer, director, film star, editor, everything. If you take that,
your Neil Bream or your Tommy
Wiseau, the look at me of Tommy Wiseau, set it in mid to late 90s Ireland. And I don't mean the fancy good looking Dublin Ireland. I mean backwoods nothing Ireland.
It's like during the Troubles, like
no, it wasn't during the Troubles, but
just in the empty wilderness that is like,
yes,
the rural areas of Ireland.
Yes, you do
where
that,
all the sheep live,
and you get Fatal Deviation. Ugh. Fatal Deviation is a story made by a man named James Bennett. He plays a character named Jimmy Bennett. Got to keep those two separate. His father was murdered somehow, so he has to leave his boys' school. The man is 30 years old, and he has to leave his boys' school to come back home to solve his murderer and also be part of a kung fu tournament in Trim, Ireland.
Trim.
The town of Trim, which
I'm sure it's a real town.
You know New Bloomington?
Oh, God.
That's Trim. That's Trim, Ireland, you guys. It has a bar. It has a grocery store.
They call them pubs there.
Well, they call them pubs there. That's true. That's true. So this movie was, okay, so what it was a vanity piece, and it was also,
obviously,
and it was, yeah, also a demo reel, because this guy, James Bennett, was a second degree black belt in a couple different styles of
martial arts.
Martial arts.
So was my dad, but he didn't make a movie about it.
No, this guy basically wanted to be Jean-Claude Van Damme, or as I like to say, Sean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, damn. Sean-Claude O'Damn.
Yes, that's it. Yep. So he made this film because he had heard that there were some Chinese filmmakers that were wanting to give him some part in one of their kung fu movies, but needed to prove that he could be a leading man. This movie also stars a guy named Mikey Graham. Mikey Graham of the Irish boy band Boyzone. Mikey Graham of Boyzone.
That sounds like the parody name of a boy band.
It sure does, but it was the second most popular. It was the 98 degrees of Irish boy bands, apparently. And he was the not popular one of the five of the.
They should have named it whatever 98 degrees is in Celsius.
Yeah, they should have. Oh, that would have been good.
I gotta look that up.
Yeah, you look that up. I'm gonna keep talking about Fatal Deviation. So this guy basically walks in from scene to scene, badly acting and beating up a bunch of townsfolk that are playing drug dealers and general ruffians. There's a scene where he kicks a grown man in a grocery store into a stack of paper towels because they were acting like 14-year-old hooligans, but the guy is 40 and has a receding hairline. He's doing all of this stuff while also, you know, it's determined pretty early on that Boyzone and this old man who plays his father were the killer of his father. So he's doing all of this stuff while he's also being secretly watched by a druid.
Of course.
Who teaches him the secret arts of the Fatal Deviation Kung Fu move because he's watched Kung Fu movies. And in Kung Fu movies, there are Shaolin monks that are teaching. So instead, in his Irish Kung Fu movie, this is totally serious, by the way, played totally straight. Instead of Shaolin monk, you get Irish druid.
He teaches them how to use all 8 of the Lucky Charms.
That's it. Yeah. This is no joke. I have found the next bad movie night film. And it comes in at a svelte 72 minutes.
Oh, at least that's merciful.
It's merciful. Scenes jump back and forth so quickly. It's like 30 seconds between jump cuts.
Ugh.
It's
I'm getting nauseous thinking about it.
Shot on VHS.
Of course.
Because apparently they had a nice camera and they broke it after the first scene. So they had to refilm it with their homemade VHS. The cost of making the entire film, 9,000 Irish pounds.
A pot of gold. A singular pot of gold.
Hey, a bottle of Jameson.
Yeah, there's a lot of great shot on video movies, but don't look up Metal Maniac.
Yeah, don't look up Feeders either.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
98 degrees in Celsius is 36.6 degrees.
Oh, there we go. That's a catchy name.
It's a great band name.
Yeah, it's catchy.
36.6 degrees.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 36.667.
Okay. Repeating. Yes. Fatal Deviation is great. The catchphrase, like the tagline for the movie, is a classic good versus evil action flicks mixed with kicks, guns, motorcycles, and a hot babe.
I was going to say, where's the part about the hot babe?
They're promising a hot
that's
babe.
That's what's on the,
yeah.
the
oh, box. Yeah, I figured.
That's
I figured.
The whole catchphrase. That's what they're using to market this.
They found the hot babe, the singular hot babe in Trim, Ireland.
They found her in Trim, Ireland. And almost everyone in the movie, it was a town thing. He basically said, hey, my hometown, let's go out and let's put on a show. And it's terrible. It's one of those that it's a solid 3 out of 10, but it is enjoyable to watch.
It sounds like there's a lot of heart in it, at least.
They did the best they could with what they had.
Yeah.
Chosen one.
Uh-huh. They did the best they could with what they had. And you know what? James Bennett, he actually went on. He became like an extra. He has been in a bunch of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Of course.
As guard who gets kicked in the face or like, you know, weird faced punk or whatever. But, yeah.
I feel like that's the role I would get in a film.
But, yes, Fatal Deviation. We need to watch it.
That sounds absolutely wrong.
Oh, it is Samurai Cop levels. It is.
Critical Remainder.
Mm-hmm. Featuring Mikey of Boyzone. All right.
Now it makes me want to look on eBay if there's any Boyzone shirts.
Oh, yeah. We need to get our Boyzone merch. That's right.
Starring Jean-Claude Odam.
That is such a great name.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Irish, that would be my name for everything.
That's my Irish OC.
the big heavy in the movie's name is Seagull because they had to fly him in from another country. Seagull.
Instead of Seagal.
Yeah, instead of Seagal, his name is Seagull.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Real clever.
Yeah.
Real clever stuff.
He steals fries from everybody. It's just a general
just
nuisance.
Just squawks loudly.
Some of that great Irish wit at work.
They're having their like kung fu battle in the basement of someone's house. Basically. And the people watching, the 12 people in the room watching, just start chanting, "Fatal deviation. Fatal deviation." like that's an actual thing.
What a surprise to see you here in my finished basement.
Oh, I didn't say anything about finished.
It's like a peat bog floor.
So they shot it in my basement.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. The main drug dealer of the town is this old man, and he offers Jimmy a job when he comes to town, even though, you know, he killed his father. He goes, "I could take care of you. I could make it very worth your while." And you're looking around you're looking at the setting, and it's definitely just this old guy's house. And I don't know. He's not doing too.
He's not doing too hot.
I don't know how much he could offer to pay Jimmy. He's not doing too hot. You guys got to watch this movie.
Oh God. It sounds like a straight stinker.
It's so bad, but it's 72 minutes worth of
gold.
Irish gold. Everyone's got the lilt. Everyone in the town's got the lilt.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's you people probably wonder, Sam, how do you find these movies?
They find you.
The barrel has a never-ending bottom. I found the bottom of the barrel. It just keeps going.
You keep scraping.
It is an infinity barrel full of trash movies.
Everybody, every aspiring filmmaker ever.
We're in the sub-basement of the barrel.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Anybody with a camera and a fistful of dollars will make a bad movie.
You know what? Watching those bad movies make me think, I could do this.
Oh, we could absolutely make a bad movie.
We could make a terrible movie.
I wonder if my sister still has it, but her and her friends, when they were younger, made a really bad spoofy horror movie.
Nice. And that's the easiest ones to do.
And my sister was like the killer, the ghost faced killer. Yeah.
Well, Cody's been killed it's not homemade. It got DVD distribution. Yeah. I own a copy of it.
Yeah, it was. It's a legitimate film. I suppose.
It is. Yeah, you and Samantha both were
murdered in a film.
Had a whole scene dedicated to you guys getting murdered. Your death is maybe the best one in the film.
That's what I was going to say. I've been told my death is one of the better ones in the movie.
It's maybe the best one in the movie.
You should make yourself an IMDb credit.
You really should.
Should.
Yeah, you really should. Fatal Deviation.
Sounds awful.
I meant to buy Susanna, the director of Metal Maniac, her second movie, that I think Night of the Zodiac or something that.
So, what have you guys been doing?
I haven't really done a whole lot. I played this one weird kind of game.
Okay.
I ended up downloading Destruction All-Stars.
Oh,
it's a PS5 game.
Yeah, that was one of the launch games for PS5.
Yeah, it's a Demolition Derby.
Oh, nice. Game. Nice.
But like a hero shooter version.
Kinda. I haven't quite figured out how to use, like, you know, people's like special abilities or whatever. I mean, I've won plenty of matches, and it's just, you know, just ramming into people.
Mm-hmm.
When your car starts getting too damaged, you can eject out of it and run across the arena and grab another car. That's like hovering on a platform or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Different characters have different voice lines. Like I said, I haven't figured out how to use their abilities or whatever, so it doesn't really matter. Everyone's just kind of got their own like color scheme.
Yeah, I played it a couple times and was just kind of like, this is not for me.
Yeah, like I said, it's all right. I don't think it's enough for me to really go back all the time. Last time I tried to play, I could not get a game going at all, so I think the player base is almost non-existent.
Yeah, there's probably six people that play. And now those six people are playing Foam Stars.
Oh, ugh. Yeah.
Which I guess I have, well, no, I haven't played an actual online match of Foam Stars, but I played around with the different characters and like saw what their abilities were and stuff, and it is it's just bad Splatoon.
It's bad Splatoon.
It really just is bad Splatoon.
Yeah.
Like, the weapons have that same kind of, like, floaty shoot
feel. Oh, yeah.
That Splatoon does, and a lot of the moves, like, a couple of the character's special moves are just, like, regular moves you would have in Splatoon. So, like, yeah. I was like, no.
I don't need to play Foam Stars. I've been to an anime convention. I know. I know what it's about.
Some of the character designs were good. Like, I'll give them that. I mean, it's Square Enix. They know how to make somebody look cool. Yeah, they know how to design an appealing character. Mm-hmm. It's just the game isn't. The game is.
They didn't get Nomura to do any of the designs, did they?
I don't think so.
Okay.
There wasn't any belts.
There
or
were no
zippers.
Belts. No belts or zippers. Okay.
I think they were more interested in making some sort of live service thing than making a game that's fun to play. Is what it is. And
Oh, gross. Speaking of live service, I heard the other day, the Crazy Taxi that's coming out is a Battle Royale live service game, Crazy Taxi.
I mean, that could be fun.
I mean, competing against other taxi drivers.
30 player in one map, Crazy Taxi live service.
That is a neat idea.
I mean, yeah, I can get behind it.
But it's not Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
No.
But there's only so much you can do with Crazy... Like, if they made a Crazy Taxi now and it had the same amount of gameplay that the originals did, people would not be cool with that.
Yeah. I actually hear Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth has probably the best riff on a Crazy Taxi. They have a, what is it? Something Crazy Eats. It's you're on a bike and you're doing
DoorDash.
You're doing DoorDash around Honolulu, but it's Crazy Taxi.
Nice.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me when I unlocked in the Crazy Taxi for Dreamcast, and I unlocked the like the rickshaw style like bicycle cart.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
And riding around like speeding down the highway as fast as I can on a bike.
Hey, you look all right. Get in.
Right?
I need to get Infinite Wealth. It's just so many games out right now.
Mm-hmm. And Infinite Wealth seems like there's 5 or 6 games in there.
Yeah.
Because there's a full-blown Pokemon system in there.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's a full-blown Animal Crossing island system in there. There's Crazy Taxi. There's also
all the Yakuza weirdness.
Yeah. Kason is in there. Famous VTuber who made it big, Kason. Yeah.
And from what I understand, the game has the two main leads when the series split. It has Kiryu,
who's the main guy,
and Ichiban, the new main guy. Well, Ichiban is your main guy, and Kiryu's one of your first party members. Apparently,
Kiryu would be really old by now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's got white hair.
Okay.
The Kiryu that you get is not... They don't portray him as the Kiryu from the mainline quest from all 7 previous games. It's the Kiryu that spent 120 hours playing Lucky Hit and has hired a chicken to work on his real estate development and dressed up as an orange mascot that one time. You're getting weird Kiryu. You're getting the one that chats with people online.
All the side games are canon Kiryu.
You're getting side game Kiryu, not main game Kiryu. You're getting weird Kiryu. And I think it's great.
It's Yakuza.
It's Yakuza.
Everything's weird.
I need to get that game as well. I've heard it's, if you haven't played any of the games prior, they're going to make references to things and they don't give you any background on it.
There's no context.
There's zero context for it, so you're just gonna have to guess. So yeah,
I finished 0, 1, and 2.
Yeah,
what
of that, Yakuza?
Yeah. Oh,
I've heard, but 3 is not very good, and 4. But 4 is the last one that they give you a recap, so you can skip 3, go to 4, get the recap, and then
I've played all of there. Them, but I've only finished the.
I haven't finished any of them.
0 is good. 0 is really good.
0 is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, come on. Nightclub, cabaret, Majima.
Throw money in the air.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
I started with Ichiban, with the last Like a Dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy who has brain damage and sees all enemies as Dragon Quest enemies.
Yeah, so
That persistent to this one as well.
I played that one. I honestly I like the real time beat.
The real time one
better.
I like the turn based. But apparently Ichiban's brain damage is communicable because
Everybody that joins him starts doing it.
Kiryu somehow by osmosis got Ichiban's brain damage because he also sees enemies as Dragon Quest enemies.
All the fights that Kiryu's been through the years, I'm sure he's got some.
Yeah.
I'm sure got some of that like concussion.
But he's never killed a person ever. Not even once.
No.
He is a Yakuza member that has never once killed a man, even though he's killed many people.
And
he's never killed one.
Shot people with guns. None of the shots
are fatal.
Point
blank.
Yeah.
In the heart and head. He's never killed anyone canonically ever once.
He'll stick a knife in your gut and then hit the knife
with his
knee.
Boot.
Yeah.
And he will pick up an entire bicycle and bash you over the head with it, killing you, but he's never killed anyone.
It's like how Batman's never killed anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Batman has never once killed a person ever. Not never ever.
I love just the turn your brain offishness of the combat, of the real-time combat in those.
Oh, yeah. Just press button until the cool thing happened.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Push button until guy fall down.
Pick up item, press button to watch whatever the wild animation with the item is.
Mm-hmm. Like when you pick up one of those like metal like barrier fences and just bash a guy.
Or just like a box of nails and he shoves them in their mouth or something.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I like Like a Dragon, the Ichiban one, he comes back for this for Infinite Wealth as well. Apparently, there is there was a side character. One of your party members was a homeless guy.
Yeah,
the homeless guy was on a TV show years ago called Blue Blazes, where he played a college age version of Hideaki Anno from Evangelion. And in this game, one of his class systems is basically Gundam model builder, and all of his attacks are based on that. And because it references a bunch of Evangelion like
nice
stuff,
giant robot stuff, because he played Otto in a major TV show or movie or whatever. Yeah, crazy stuff.
You started an Evangelion rewatch, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, so I've watched the first two episodes again. It's I've gone through it before. Jordan it's her first time watch, and it's going pretty well.
Is she liking it?
So far, so good.
That's good.
Yeah, so far, so good. You know, so far she's gathered that Shinji seems all right, but man, he should just get in the robot.
Oh yeah.
And Gendo is a bad man. Is not nice.
He's not dad of the year material.
He's not dad of the year material. But no, like I said, we're only two episodes into it, so we're not too far. And I am champing at the bit, trying to get to the parts that really get the story going.
Well, once Asuka shows up, it really picks
up. Oh yeah, Asuka's best character.
Asuka is the linchpin that gets everything really moving.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Man, that episode when they're chasing down that Russian remote Ava,
Jet Alone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good Misato episode.
It really is. Oh, something else I kind of did. It's kind of a quick one because I'm not that deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Nicole started watching this new series on Netflix called Carol and the End of the World.
Oh, I've watched about half of that, I think.
Yeah, I've only watched like the first couple episodes. It's a adult animated show set in a version of Earth that another planet is entering our orbit.
Or like a meteor.
It's
or something.
It's some
the
world
space
is ending.
Object.
The world is ending.
Okay.
The world is ending.
They have a finite date for
you have
the
seven,
end of the world.
You have 7 months until the world is destroyed. So everyone in the world is basically, it's hedonism. It's everybody is just, no one is working. Everyone is just.
Just doing whatever.
They're living life. They're living their last few months of life.
Is this the one that's at the video store at the end of the world or whatever?
No.
Okay, there was some animated show that was the Earth was in a post-apocalyptic thing, and the main character was like working in the last VHS store.
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry. All right.
So you have this character Carol, who she seems to have a lot of kind of like social awkwardness.
Yeah, the anxiety.
She has a lot of anxiety. She doesn't like being around people. She's very quiet. She has a routine. She likes routines. And, you know, this whole thing kind of ruins her routines. And she doesn't like it. And she's having trouble dealing with that.
Okay.
Like in the first episode, her parents, who have become hedonistic nudists.
Nudists. And the show has no qualms about nudity.
Oh, yeah.
And it's right. very funny.
Art style is very interesting, I guess.
Yeah. It's got a
style to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It has more going on than like a Family Guy.
Mm. A lot of nudity, a lot of people just being weird. And then by like the second episode or something, Carol's still struggling with everything. She kind of has like a brief romance with a guy and he just is unhinged. Like at first it seemed really cool. He seemed really cool and fun and everything, but he's just unhinged.
Super clingy.
The one guy. But Carol's riding the train because her car battery is dead. And she finds this very business looking lady. And she's like, starts following her, like, where are you going? Like, you know, what are you doing? Look like you're going to work, but it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And she follows her all the way to this really fancy office building where there is just hundreds of people doing office work.
Oh, okay.
And for a while, like, you don't know why they're doing it. No one talks. No one does anything. Carol tries to, like, socialize with them. No one is looking at her. No one is acknowledging her. She gets everything through, like, weird phone calls or emails from management.
Okay.
And then she finally meets one lady, starts talking to her, and she's like, welcome to the distraction. And that's just the end of the episode.
Okay.
And that's about as far as I've gotten.
I haven't gotten far enough to know exactly what's going on, but like it's an interesting kind of mystery like that.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I dig it.
I love how willing it is to just be quiet.
Oh yeah, it's very quiet.
There's so many adult animated shows that are just constantly screaming at you.
Something's always gotta happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This show is okay with being quiet and like sitting you in the moment, like in a very good way.
Okay.
I find it funny, like, we've got Hazbin Hotel who's out here like screaming about how nasty and dirty this is, but it's so there's no nudity. It's so squeamish about nudity.
Yeah.
But then we got Carol over here that's the quietest.
Practically whispers everything she says.
Yeah, the quietest show in the world, but they have no qualms about showing you a ding dong.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll get into some news.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into the wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Long Play. I invite you to join me Friday night at 11 and Saturday afternoons at 3 as we venture into the Album Zone.
Hey everybody, we're back from the break, ready to get into some hot news. Don't burn your hands on this hot news.
And it's the hottest news. It's the hottest news. You know what? We're going to jump right into, we're not going to bury the lead, the intro from the show. We're going to go right into it. Here we go. What do you guys know about the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow, Scotland?
We've gone to Ireland. Now we're visiting Scotland.
We're hitting all the aisles.
Well, Scotland's not an island, but anyway,
still.
But yeah, we're making all the rounds of the United Kingdom.
Yes.
So Glasgow, Scotland had this, what they were calling the Willy Wonka experience. And the website had all these amazing pictures of this
magical pop-up
art installation, something kind of akin to like an other world or something, but it was themed for Willy Wonka.
I'm sure they didn't have the rights.
This thing
was fully unauthorized. Mm-hmm. And all the pictures on the website were apparently AI generated.
Oh, of course they
were.
And
you could tell. It was very obvious. There was a whole boatload of spelling and grammatical errors. Like,
mm-hmm.
And so people got there.
It was $44 a pop,
yep.
by the way. Euro or whatever at this point.
The you know, the GPP.
Yep.
And yeah, it was...
It's taken social media by storm
on how bad it
how
is.
How bad it was.
It was just basically like a room full of colored trash piled up.
Like, not, it didn't even look...
It wasn't even a room. It was an empty warehouse.
It was an empty warehouse put, with fake walls up and...
Yeah, it was some kind of industrial space or something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they've since then issued 840 refunds.
I'm surprised they didn't cut and run.
Yeah. Yeah, that seemed like the kind of thing.
Well, I'm sure they weren't going to let them. I'm sure other people were getting involved.
It was so bad that somebody called the cops while they were there, uh-huh. which is like, how bad does that have to be where you have to be like,
yeah,
I got to call the police.
Apparently, all the kids got like two or three jelly beans.
Three jelly beans and a quarter cup of lemonade.
Yeah, and a quarter cup of lemonade.
There was Tesco's Finest Lemonade, which is like Costco brand or whatever.
And there was no chocolate.
No chocolate at the Willy Wonka experience.
There was a lady dressed as an Oompa Loompa standing behind a chemistry set.
Who looked like she had been up all night long.
That's the... You mean the Jelly Bean Lab?
Whatever it is.
That's what it was called, the Jelly Bean Lab.
That's where you get your three...
Your three jelly
no
beans.
No more than three jelly beans.
Yes.
I saw...
The woman, she's gone viral. Very viral.
I saw a meme where somebody... Somebody did the Breaking Bad logo, but it said Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I've seen that.
No,
it
said Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa. Yeah, I've seen someone remake it in Animal Crossing.
Apparently all the scripts the actors were given were AI, written by AI.
AI generated nonsense.
The AI created a character, created their own Willy Wonka villain. Called The Unknown.
An evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls.
Is that what that black robe, white face thing is supposed to be?
That's The Unknown.
He just kind of like creeps around a mirror while wearing
behind
like,
a mirror.
Like a Doctor Doom metal face.
Yeah. Scared a bunch of children.
I was saying, he looked like a Death Eater from the Harry Potter movies. Yeah.
So all the costumes were bought the night before
Obviously.
By this company. I found the Oompa Loompa costumes. And by Oompa Loompa, I mean...
The one lady?
The costume was for a sexy chocolate maker.
Oh.
Yeah.
One of those.
It was one of those
like
costumes.
Like one of the Party City like a, adult like, costumes.
Yeah, Leg Avenue or whatever the brand is.
Uh-huh. Let me see if I can find it. So there was also the guy who was hired to play Willy Wonka did like a 5 or 6 part TikTok where he was explaining the whole behind the scenes and everything. And
I feel like that could have been explained in one TikTok.
Well, no, he went way in depth with how bad it was.
Come with me and you'll see a world of pure desperation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there it is.
Oh, yep. That's it. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the company?
That is Fun Shack.
Fun Shack. Okay,
Fun Shack Women's Chocolate Factory costume.
Get your couple's costume out of the way now and go as the Oompa Loompa and the Unknown.
Yes, that's right.
Because people will definitely remember about this by Halloween.
Or a pile of trash. Yeah.
But no, the guy who they had play Willy Wonka, he's a stand-up comedian.
I feel like you'd have to be.
And he seems like, but like a working actor just trying to find gigs. And he was, his TikToks,
chasing
they were
that,
actually
chasing that
pretty,
paycheck.
They were pretty entertaining talking about it. He's a redhead. He's a ginger. And he goes, a little kind of shorter guy. And the first thing he says is, for the first red flag, it should have been, they cast me as Willy Wonka.
As the lead.
He goes, if anyone in the earth has given off Oompa Loompa energy,
it's me.
It's me. But no, he's the one that talked about the 14 pages of AI gibberish that was the script. trying to talk about the unknown, how they showed up for dress rehearsal a week before, saw the sets and go, well, where's the rest of the set? And the people said, oh, don't worry, we're going to be working. We're going to be pulling a couple of all-nighters. This place is going to look great. Showed up a week later. It was the exact same set.
Trying to get them not to run.
After the second or third group of kids that went through, they just said, just start improvising. Just go off script. Just make up whatever you want.
Go nuts.
Just go nuts. But it's, oh, yeah, I've been obsessed with this because it is a train wreck of gargantuan proportions.
The memes have been pretty fire.
I love the Dune experience one that's just like a room
full
of
pile
sand.
Of sand.
Yeah. Sand. This is going to go down in history like Firefest.
I was going to say this
or the DashCon ball pit.
I was going to say this sounds like a lot like that.
It's Firefest Junior.
Yes, I can't wait for the mini documentary that's going to come out about this.
The YouTube doc,
the 5-part YouTube doc made by Defunct Land or something. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be... I can't wait.
Did you watch the Defunct Land about the American Idol experience?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
It was really good. I had no idea it was a thing at Disney.
Yeah.
Was it California Adventure?
Calabari Adventure, yeah. And one of the finalists from one of the seasons was part of it. I think he came in fifth place or something.
Yeah.
Like, overall. Yeah, really interesting stuff. I like Defunct Land stuff.
Oh, yeah, he does good work.
Yeah. I'll sit and just put him on in the back as, like, background noise. It's really good. The one about the ticketing.
Oh,
the
queuing, like everything you ever wanted to know about queuing.
Yeah, and the magic pass and the the e-tickets and stuff like that. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, so let's move on to some other stuff here. I guess next up, the next biggest one is the return of Naked Gun. That's right.
Frank Drebin, a police squad.
We willed this into existence
last
week. Although I kind of knew about this a while back.
See, I did.
This is, nothing was made of, this is, the announcement that they had was the official release date. I knew this, they were working on this for a little while. But they are doing a reboot of the Naked Gun Police Squad, the Leslie Nielsen classic. They have cast a Frank Drebin, and it is Liam Neeson.
There'll be a part where they're like, no, this is the reboot, and then Liam Neeson will take off the boots he's wearing and then put on a different pair of boots.
A different pair of boots, yeah.
Oh, that would be a great
That would be a great bit. Yeah, I at first was a little concerned because how do you fill such
large shoes?
Well, you know, how do
hold
you...
Hold up big pair of shoes.
Uh-huh, there it is. Those movies are perfection.
And nobody does that particular brand of extremely silly comedy anymore.
Oh, yeah. No.
Right.
Not since, like, you know, the trend of spoof movies kind of, like, just died out.
And those were bad examples of that style.
The fact that superhero movie was so bad that it killed the entire genre.
They were too crude. They
were.
That's what made them not fun.
The first two Scary Movies are probably some of my favorite. Like, I love the first two.
Yeah, they're pretty all right.
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes down to Leslie Nielsen and the fact that he was able to play it completely straight.
Oh, yeah. He made a whole career out of it.
He did.
He had, you know, he had Police Squad. Mm-hmm. He had, you know, the Naked Gun movies, which are just Police Squad in movie form.
Yeah.
You had the Airplane movies, at least the first one.
No, he was in both.
Was he in both?
Yeah.
Airplane is great.
It's been so long since I've seen Airplane 2.
Airplane 2 is not as good, but it is pretty...
I've never seen Airplane 2.
Okay. Man, the one bit that always... Other than the autopilot bit, the Don't Call Me Shirley bit, the drinking problem bit,
mm-hmm.
The one where they're sitting in the tower and the guy says, well, the S is going to hit the fan.
And it literally hits a fan.
That scene, for some reason, just lives rent-free in my brain.
Stewardess, I speak jive.
Oh, yeah! Or the Native Americans, like, I can't get up to go peek, or a white man will take my seat, claiming manifest destiny.
I think that's in Airplane 2.
Oh, is it?
That one's in Airplane 2. But that's
there's a good joke early in Airplane where he's on the phone with a guy named Ham and gets a call from the Mayo Clinic, and he's like, "Hold the Mayo, give me the ham, hold the Mayo."
Yeah,
and that was the exact moment where I'm like, I am going to love this film.
You ever been to a Turkish bath, Billy?
Do you like gladiator movies? No. So the couple of things that make me feel a little better about this. One, it is Liam Neeson, who is a really funny guy.
Oh, yeah. He can do comedy.
He can do comedy, and he can do play it completely, like, totally...
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's a good actor.
And he can play it totally straight. Deadpan straight. So I think he's going to get that.
There's a skit he did, I think it was with Ricky Gervais or something. About Schindler's... About him auditioning for Schindler's List.
Yes.
Because he was good at making lists.
Good at making lists.
And then he plays that extremely straight, and it is very funny.
It's really good.
Do you guys remember the movie? It's a comedy movie he did a long time ago. He wasn't even the star of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
High Spirits.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I think it's got Billy Crystal in it. But it's about a guy. Him and his wife go to this Scottish castle claiming to be one of the most haunted places on earth. And, you know, and they start dealing with these ghosts, but then they somehow change something and it breaks the ghosts out of their predetermined
routine loop.
And so they become, like, sentient again.
Oh, okay.
And Liam Neeson plays one of the ghosts.
Interesting.
And
okay.
He falls in love with Billy Crystal's wife.
Mm.
It's like a whole thing.
Okay.
I used to watch this movie all the time on, like, TNT
or TBS. I might have to find that.
TBS.
That sounds really interesting.
It's a good movie. Granted.
It's Billy Crystal. It's great.
It's been a long time since
it's probably also dated, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It just makes me think of the
Ghost TV show. Yeah.
Which is a good show.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah. The other thing about the Naked Gun reboot that gives me a little bit of hope, it's executive produced by Seth MacFarlane, and he's been able to consistently get good comedy out of Liam Neeson.
Oh, I'm
in
sorry,
his films.
It was Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, Guttenberg. Okay. Well, yeah. I shared it with you guys. It was a scene from Ted 2 where Ted is working at the talking bear or whatever, is working at a grocery store. And Liam Neeson, as a cameo, walks up with a box of tricks. And he's like, "Before I buy this, I'd like to ask you a few questions." On the box, it says that this food is for children. Is it exclusively for children?
No, it's for everybody. It's just what the commercial says.
So if I buy this home and take it back to my apartment, there won't be any problems.
No, man, it's fine. Yeah, you just buy it.
Okay, I'm going to buy this and go.
Yeah, fine. Okay. Hands him the money.
He goes, "I'll never forget what you've done for me here today."
And puts it in his coat and slowly walks out of the, and it's like that perfect energy. If they can get that kind of energy for the Naked Gun movie, nailed it. Nailed it. But we'll see what happens.
And like, Seth MacFarlane has done funny things before.
You know what? People give him a bad rap for Family Guy because Family Guy has gone very long in the tooth. But The Orville is a great show.
Yo, the Orville's
the
fantastic.
First season or two of Family Guy is not bad.
The first couple seasons.
In that time period, in that place and time, it was really something.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal. And it was very funny at the time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it holds up, but at the time, it was a big deal.
It was pretty good.
Like, you'd get together with your friends with your Family Guy DVD, and you would have yourself the night.
You'd have yourself a good afternoon. Yeah. But no, Orville is great. The Ted movies are actually
really
solid.
I have
the
not
first one, at least. The second I haven't watched a whole
lot. I haven't watched Ted 2. Mm-hmm. I really like Ted 1.
And I've heard the TV show is really good.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the series list.
I've seen clips of the TV show, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That the Ted TV show is basically Family Guy, but they've removed all of the cutaways. So they make a reference to something, but there's no cutaway, and you just have to imagine it.
I mean, it's just Seth MacFarlane referencing pop culture jokes.
That's his whole
shtick.
Well, one of the jokes from the Ted TV show is Ted's asking, there's a lot of white kids going to the school, and his friend or whatever says, "Yeah, we did have an Indian guy once, but they got him and moved on." And Ted is going,
what?
What do you mean? Who's they?
What do you mean they got him?
But there's no cutaway. You don't see. And they just move on like it's nothing. That's comedy. That's good stuff. So I really hope that they do a good job with this. It's coming out in about a year. I think it's June 2025. So they're taking their time with it.
It makes me wonder, are they going to set it in the same general time period? Is it going to be like a modern kind of take on
it? I would almost hope it's kind of a modern take. Because if they set it in the 80s, it's already going to draw a lot of comparisons to the originals.
Oh, yeah.
By setting it as a modern movie and
doing some modern jokes with it, I think would help mitigate that somewhat, but we'll see.
Please hold. Hold. Hand them something.
You know, it's kind of like the Pink Panther movies. I never thought that they could replace Peter Sellers as Inspector Clouseau, but Steve Martin came in and did a perfectly fine job with
Hamburger.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the least common denominator jokes, yeah. But a lot of the jokes in those films were good. And I mean, it's similar kind of energy.
I wish I knew. What is that kind of comedy? Like, what is that called?
It's just like deadpan, no selling of jokes, crazy things happening behind you. But as long as your main character is solid and serious, everyone takes it super serious.
It's just kind of madcap. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I wish there was more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it almost bleeds into some. It almost bleeds a little bit into the Mel Brooksian style
of
comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know a lot of Mel Brooks stuff. There is a lot of slapstick,
a lot of visual gags.
There are a lot of jokes. Well, like Blazing Saddles or like Young Frankenstein.
I did not realize that Blazing Saddles is 50 years old now.
Oh, my bones.
I know, right? I saw like a thing about it, and it's like 50 years later. I'm like,
Yeah, that's But yeah, it's that kind of, you know, background jokes and stuff like that.
It's definitely stuff that I feel like is shaped a lot of like our collective humor. Mm-hmm.
Also, the idea that you just throw so many jokes at the screen, who cares if one doesn't land for you? There's going to be another one in 20 seconds and something's going to click.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Muppet sense of humor is close.
It's close.
Sorry, I just remember that part in a Robin Hood Men in Tights when Dave Chappelle's character Achoo
goes in tight.
Thank you. He's like, they're fighting all the guys. He's like, hold on, I'm out of air. And he bends down, he pumps up his sneakers.
Yep.
Game on. And they continue fighting.
Mm-hmm. Pump shoes.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
They don't make those anymore.
They don't. Although, keep an eye out. Styles loop around. We might see him again sometime.
Yeah. I mean, if light-up shoes can come back, those can come back, too.
Yep.
We gotta talk about Pokemon real quick.
About Pokemons real quick. There was not much to talk about with this Pokemon Direct.
No, but it was Pokemon Day, which is apparently a day.
It's become a thing. It's the...
Is it when Red and
Red
Blue
and Green,
came out?
Red and Green in Japan were released. I think it's like the 27th or something like that. February 27th, I think, was the day. So they always release a lot of info on upcoming games and stuff like that.
Pokemon projects.
Yeah, they showed a lot of stuff about the mobile games. I don't know anybody who plays.
Yeah, I've heard Masters EX is okay. Pokemon Sleep, I still nightly use Pokemon Sleep.
Well,
I missed the first 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, they're introducing their first legendary Raikou into it next month. Mm. I can sleep. If I sleep real good, maybe I'll catch a legendary lightning dog in my sleep. Who knows? But no, they did that. They announced a couple of things. The next season for Pokemon Go is coming out. There's actually going to be doing a lot of cool stuff with Pokemon Go coming up.
Well, they got it to keep it fresh.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a lot of, hey, they're going to nickel and dime you. They've practically done a monthly subscription for it. It's not necessary, but it's...
Yeah.
I mean, they might as well. If you're really into it, that it makes sense.
And they usually keep it relatively low. It's like $5 and it's for the full month and you get extra stuff.
I mean, I paid $5 a month for the Mario Kart game the whole time they were making new content
So
I have no room to talk.
I think I still have the gold pass in Mario Kart.
Yeah, they're adding a bunch of stuff to that Cafe Remix.
Oh yeah, that game.
That
weird matching game.
I tried it and it was fine.
I bounced off it so hard.
It was
like,
oh, that's cute. Never played it again.
That's like Masters too. I kind of played it a little bit.
I played a bunch of it until I realized that this is very boring.
It's incredibly boring. Yeah. But the big one is they announced a new entry into the Legends series of it's not the mainline games, but it's like
Arceus was the last one.
Arceus was the only one where you traveled back in time.
Yes.
And
God made you go back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon God made you go back in time to ancient Japan style.
Yeah, but it had different like catching mechanics and it had different things. It was more of a...
Adventure game
than it was a...
It was definitely a breath of fresh air as far as Pokemon games.
Yeah, I liked it more than I did Scarlet and Violet.
I agree. So the next one, it looks like, now there's no guarantee of this yet because it was just a trailer with no other information.
There's no gameplay whatsoever.
No gameplay.
It made it seem like it was some sort of Pokemon SimCity.
SimCity kind of thing. That's what I thought at first too. But apparently this one might be taking place in the future. So you're going into the future a little bit. And it takes place in the town of Lumois City. That's X and Y. So yeah, so every Pokemon game is based on a different region of the real world. X and Y was based loosely on France. They had their own version of the Eiffel Tower, and it's this huge sprawling city. And it is Pokemon Legends Z-A. So
terrible name. Very bad.
Terrible name. But it only takes place within that city, and it is part urban redevelopment, part Pokemon like Legends Arceus. So you're going to basically go to the future and help expand Lumois City out and build your town while also catching Pokemon.
But they never outright said it was in the future.
But based on telltale signs of it, it looks like that's kind of where it's heading. Not like far-flung space future, but like maybe 50 years into the future of...
The not too distant future,
which is interesting. I wonder if they're going to have you follow the same character from Legends Arceus.
That's because, like a direct sequel?
Because that kid was from Kalos region.
Okay.
Yeah, the main character was from Kalos that was shot back in time.
Okay.
I wish they would do a game that took place in the what's the GameCube one?
Gale of Darkness?
No, one before that.
Colosseum?
Yes.
Colosseum, yeah.
It's like in a desert America area. That's very cool.
Well, Unova is the America one.
Yeah, but that was like New York area.
It was like New York. That's true. But this also marks the first time that there hasn't been a mainline Pokemon game either actively out or in development for more than a 2-year span.
Which means they learned their lesson from Scarlet and Violet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or at least we can hope.
Yeah, at least we have.
Yeah, take your time. Don't just crank these games out every year.
Yeah, don't Call of Duty this. Madden this.
It's too big of a game. There's too much involved in Pokemon to push one out every year.
Yep.
It is not tenable.
Exactly. Exactly.
I did see where there's discussion online where they're like, I guess like, you know, Mega Evolutions are going to take a play.
Because that was the main gimmick in X and Y is what they introduced, which is great.
Evolutions were my favorite.
Of all the stupid extra gimmicks that the games introduced.
That they didn't really need to introduce, but they did.
Mega Evolutions are probably my favorite. I don't care for Z moves that were in Sun and Moon.
Because it was just a win button.
Yeah. I don't care for...
I thought Gigantamax was kind of cool.
Well, Gigantamax, I kind of lump in a little bit.
It's basically the same.
It's Mega Evolution.
Mega Evolutions.
Yeah, it's basically the same as Mega Evolution.
And then...
Terra, whatever.
I never really used it. It's boring.
It's boring.
It's shiny.
New hat.
Basically.
A new hat on your guy.
Dazzle your Pokemon and they do a stronger attack.
And they, well, then they change typing.
Sometimes, yeah, if you really feel like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it looks good. Oh, and the other phone game that's going to be coming out soon.
The Pokemon card game.
TCG.
That looks super awesome.
That actually looks really good.
I'm super stoked to play this card
Josh,
game.
Josh, you look confused. So the card game, the Pokemon trading card game, they are getting a phone version where you unwrap digital card packs and can play a rules light, streamlined version of it with other people online.
So it's like Magic Battleground on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's coming out in about a year.
And you get 2 free packs of cards every day.
Every day. Yep.
Okay.
So they're going to make
I liked the Magic one.
Yeah.
I played that one when the D&D set came out. I got a bunch of packs in that.
That's super sick. I always want to... I kind of want to play Pokemon cards, but I don't have anybody to play with, and I don't want to invest in it.
I feel like there are too many rules for me to remember at this point in my life.
Yeah, a couple...
But a streamlined digital version that holds your hand through it?
This is the entry point for me to be able to play Pokemon cards, and I'm excited about it.
And the price is right, which is free.
Yeah.
Like, so a few years ago, me and Nicole went to a Pokemon card game day at a game shop in Galleon.
Okay.
Like, I hadn't played Pokemon cards since like high school. So I was like, okay, well the game's still going. I wonder how different. It is so different.
Really?
Same with Magic the Gathering. I've followed a little bit of that. And like there's a commander deck. I don't know what that means.
That's pretty much like the official like play tournament style thing now.
I do not know what that means.
I've played some Magic with my D&D buds the other day. Not the other day, it was like several months ago at this point, but they had to explain to me like the character, like the hero cards that I forget what they're called.
Planeswalker or whatever.
Yeah.
which was basically, that's pretty much how Commander works. You pick a character, like a legendary character, and that is your commander, and there's like special rules for it, and it's weird.
Yeah, like I've looked at the art still looks pretty rad on them, I've looked at like the rules, and I used to be able to go, okay, that's what this thing does. I look at the cards and they're whatever they do, and I go, I don't know what any
of... my eyes have crossed.
Yeah, there are...
exactly.
Yeah, there are so many new abilities and new things. I think the last new ability I remember when I was playing regularly was like... Trample, maybe.
They come out with like weird new decks too often too. It's like, well, the Lord of the Rings one came out, and then like 2 weeks later it's like, hey, Doctor Who's here, and it's like, whoa, slow down.
That's part of the problem. And like
that's
WizKids was like that with HeroClix too. Is they bring out too many sets too fast.
They had that Street Fighter deck.
The Street Fighter set. There was the Warhammer 40K sets.
There's like a Clue inspired Magic thing going on now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could never keep up, and they're too expensive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to be competitive, it's ridiculous.
Like those Doctor Who decks, I'm like, ooh, I love me some Doctor Who. That might be fun. And then it's like, oh, it's $60.
$60 for six cards or something like that.
For a pile of
cards. The secret lair stuff. That's what that is.
Yeah.
They did the same thing for like the Godzilla. There was a secret lair set of
The Godzilla set
of Godzilla themed lands. They were just land cards, and they were there was like five of them, and it was super expensive.
Was one Monster Island?
No, they're all like basic lands that have like Godzilla
art in them. Oh, yeah, that's
in
even
the art.
That's even lamer.
Yeah, it is lame. I've been
trying to get into the Disney, the Lorcana.
A new expansion just came out. Ink and Mayhem,
I've found one starter set, which is not enough to play. You need two. I've not been able to find a second one since anywhere I go.
Gosh, the last thing I got into that was like that was HeroClix, and that has changed so much since.
Oh yeah,
since when we got out of it.
I know. Yeah, I know. I haven't touched it. I got rid of all my stuff.
I still have a box of them, but I'll probably get rid of them sometime.
I mean,
soon.
the only real reason for you to play was the Batman 66 set.
The Batman 66 set and the Green Lanterns set.
That tournament was amazing. Oh, that event
was
so awesome.
That
was
a really good event.
The War of Light was the best.
Yeah, trying to get all the lanterns and stuff.
Yeah.
I still have a handful of those. I should probably sell them or something.
Man, that was such a good event.
It's a good set.
When they did Age of Ultron after that and it was so bad, I was like, ugh. That's pretty much what killed
it for me. Just like the movie.
Just like, yeah.
Oof.
I think that's the worst Avengers movie, probably.
Avengers movie? Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's not the worst MCU movie, but it's the worst Avengers movie, for sure.
I mean, I liked Ultron as a character, as far as, like, in the movie anyway. It was definitely...
James Spader's voice wasn't a good fit. They needed a voice actor to do voice acting.
Yeah.
Instead of stunt casting.
Imagine that.
Which is why I'm so excited with like the H. John Benjamin being the narrator in that Boy Kills World movie.
We talked about that last week. That was going to be really good. Hey, we have hit time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up for the week.
You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitch, Instagram. Support our Patreon at Nerd Overload Now.
Send us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, or you can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline, 419-561-5556. What kind of expensive card game did you play as a kid?
a needlessly expensive collectible whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get your dragon dice out or whatever.
I remember this one that were boats. They were little
pirates. The little pirates
of the Spanish Main. Pirates mm-hmm. of the Spanish Main.
Loved that.
I still have a whole bunch of those.
I do too.
I never played the game, but I loved
it. I never played the game.
That is a solid game.
Yeah.
And it was easy to store. And
you just pop them right back into the card.
Yeah. And you can put them in a sleeve.
I love building the little boats.
They were very good, but we can't get into this anymore.
No.
You can find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. Finally, I'd like to thank Parker for helping us out with the Facebook page. Jordan Taylor for our brand new shiny logo.
Looks good. It looks so good.
I love it. It's great. And David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Look out for the curious stranger. He's going to go around a mirror and look at you.